listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and really pleased to have with me once again Michael Oliver. It's olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com, to sign up for Michael's excellent work. And we're just very honored to have him here with us every other week to give us an update on where he thinks these major markets are. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Always good to have you with me. And I know on the weekend, your weekend missive, both the gold one and the regular one, but the gold one you talked, or the regular one you talked about T-bonds. That was a front page article, was T-bonds and gold. Those are two of your safe havens. You figure they're both strongly correlated, at least for the time being, right? How are you seeing those markets right now?
Well, I think that we've maneuvered sometimes to get a breakout of significance on momentum. There's two ways to do it. One, when you look at a price chart, the only variable is what? The price upswings and downswings, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But on momentum, you've got the price variable is a factor, but also its relationship to a changing moving average. So we measure, mm-hmm. for instance, gold versus, let's say, a three-month average. Well, there's two factors there. What gold price is doing and what's that three-month average doing? Mm-hmm. Well, when we do the same thing with T-bonds, and as we all know, T-bonds, you know, a government debt, that is, differentiated from corporate high-yield debt, has gone down in price since last August, high, coincident with gold, and yields have risen. And everybody's gotten spooked about this, and they think, it, you know, once it gets going, they seem to think it goes forever. You know, that's typical, you know, among investors.
Yeah.
We see a major bottom setting up in bonds for a very sharp rally, meaning mm-hmm. a drop in yields.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see the action since February, March, and now this month especially, we're actually getting upturn in price this month. But momentum started to turn last month. And the structure we want to break out of is not some price-based thing. You look at a price chart of T-bonds, there's just a void above you. In other words, you just go up. There's nothing to stop you. There's no prior floor until you get up around 170, which is actually where I think we're going. We're right now in the mm-hmm. 150s, high 150s.
Uh-huh.
But the three-month moving average for T-bonds is dropping nicely, and it's a structure there on our momentum charts. In other words, if you looked at the momentum chart, you'd see the ceiling that's been hit and hit. And, boy, if you go through that, it looks like you're going to launch.
Mm-hmm.
We think you're going to launch. And it looks like a May event because the moving average is going to drop such that all you have to do next month in T-bond futures, we were talking about right now, they had a high this month just above 159. Okay,
mm-hmm.
which was not a great big rally to get there. And we backed off a point, point and a half or so. If you trade that number again next month, I'm going to break these monthly momentum charts out on T-bonds. And I think T-bonds basically have a void. In other words, when you look at a price chart or a momentum chart and you can't see, you see a breakout, but you don't know where resistance is because you don't see anything above you. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
open sky.
Mm-hmm.
You quite often will get a surge, and I think that's what we're going to get in bonds. Now, given that they're coincident with gold, and look what gold's done. Lo and behold,
mm-hmm.
it was under
mm-hmm.
pressure since August. It made a low in early March. We're currently $100 off that low. I think that was the low, period, circle it. That was 1673 area. Right now we're mm-hmm. 1775 or 1776.
Mm-hmm.
Gold has essentially the same situation that T-bonds have. That is, if it just hiccups next month to the upside, it's going to start to engage and break out over some monthly momentum trigger levels that should really get it going. So anyway, mm-hmm. we have these two alternative markets, bonds and gold. And alternative to whom? Okay, maybe not most investors, but certainly to large asset managers. When they get shaky about the stock market, and a lot of them right now, and I'm talking the, you know, the well-known names,
mm-hmm.
hedge fund managers who aren't gold bugs, okay,
mm-hmm.
but they smell something, and they see a market that's awfully high for 12 years, and they're nervous. No, they have to, for competitive reasons, hold long positions in the stock market, you know, because their peers, if they get beat by their peers, they lose clients. But they still want to be ready to shift to another category that might they perceive to be safe. And I think the universal consensus among those folks is that government debt, especially the longer debt, 10-year and 30-year, and gold happen to be those two viable alternatives. They certainly were viable back last year when the market was headed down. And I think they're setting up to go up. Now, if those two markets are setting up to go up, what does that mean about the stock market? Well, that's what we see, too. Don't even look at the stock market. Look at bonds and gold. And if they're ready to turn up, that raises a question. Why? Certainly not because inflation is abating. In fact, inflation is getting worse. So why would yields drop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because people want safety. That's why.
Yeah. Right.
And I suspect we're... Huh?
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, Michael, that looking at your charts on the weekend, if I'm reading it right, the equities are looking a little shaky too, possibly. If I understand your structure and momentum on the S&P, I think we were looking at a weekly chart.
Yeah. And what we're looking for, we look at various time scales. In other words, everything doesn't happen at once. You don't break a weekly momentum trend, which is fairly short term, and necessarily break something long term. So, but it's like dominoes lined up. If you topple one, maybe it'll topple into the other and get a series of breakage going. That's what we think is about to happen. We're not pounding the table that we've got a top in the stock market, but we do think we probably are at or near a top, and it will be led on the downside by former leadership, that former leadership being the NASDAQ 100 and its front-end loaded symbols. Those symbols we all know, Google, there's two Google stocks, Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft, which constitute about 50% of the entire weighting of the NASDAQ 100, and they constitute about 20% of the front end of the S&P 500. So if those guys get into trouble, and they've gotten into trouble in one regard that we measure, and that is, forget looking at the price charts. Price charts are flat to stable on those stocks for the last several months. Not going up really, but they're not going down. Their relative performance of those stocks, if you plot a spread between, let's say, the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P, has been collapsing, primarily because the NASDAQ 100 has been going sideways for about 3 months, and the S&P has been advancing. Mm-hmm. So what that says is that the buyers aren't buying the leadership anymore. Mm-hmm. They're buying other stuff.
Interesting,
And that spread, usually when that spread turns up or down, in this case down severely, it will precede a net trend decline. So that reinforces our view. When we put all these little pieces together, the T-bonds bottoming, what does that mean? Gold turning up, 100 off its low and ramping for more, probably to become evident next month. And the stocks, S&P sort of stalled here for the last few weeks, but holding its own, you know. All these pieces, when you put them together, suggest that we're about to have those three asset class shift in their trend. Gold back to its upside, T-bonds, sharp rally, and stocks getting hit down. I don't expect stocks to crash, by the way. I don't expect a crash event. No.
It's sort of like a water torture type of thing?
It's arm wrestling. You know, when you have arm wrestling tops, like 2,000 top in the stock market, the only stock market crash that ever led to a bear market was 29. Mm-hmm. And even it had a 50% rally back to the high before it went down. But no major bear market in U.S. stocks ever proceeded with a crash event, meaning 30 to 35% drop within weeks. Mm-hmm. It never has happened. And I don't think it's going to happen this time. I think if we top the stock market, it will be more of an arm wrestling event where people will debate it back and forth because you'll get your rallies, you know. Now, there's a big positive about that event for the gold market in particular. Everybody's concerned that the Fed at some point, because of the inflation that we're seeing rampantly in the commodity area, for example, might back off their monetary policy, might tighten up a bit, you know, not be so recklessly loose. If that stock market becomes a psychological negative for investors, even people who aren't in the market are affected by the stock market because they have a sense of negativity when it goes down. They worry about whether they're going to get laid off, et cetera. Mm-hmm. If you introduce that negative into the economic environment here, the Fed is going to be very concerned about that because they know, and even Bernanke wrote a paper on it, and I keep quoting that, he did back in 2003, that the Fed, one of its implicit tasks is to support the stock market in order to create psychological giddiness. He didn't use that word, but that was his intent. And I'm sure that if you wobble that stock market, which has been quite strong for 9-10 months now, so it's not been an issue for the Fed. If it suddenly becomes an issue, that means the Fed ain't going to back off.
Mm-hmm.
You can forget it.
Right.
Regardless of what happens with the virus and all that stuff, which is going to get better, there's no question. The stock market could become the new dark cloud.
So, Michael, if I hear what you're saying, then you sort of answered a question I had in mind for you, and that is, if we start to get a real strong bear market, not a crash, but something like the 1970s, which I remember well as a young man at that time, it was sort of an arm wrestling long term. I mean, the 70s were a brutal bear market, as I recall. Actually, with all the inflation and all, somebody's pointed out that it was worse than the 1930s almost, or as bad as. So if we were to get something like that, what I hear you saying is there's no reason then that you should necessarily dump your gold stocks along with everything else.
No, I don't think there's a correlation. Yes, we've had some brief bouts where for 4, 5, or 6 days, as in March of 2020, the GDX and the gold miners dropped with the stock market. That was a crash event in the stock market. So people were selling everything. I don't think we have a crash event coming. I think we have an arm wrestling event coming, which will be a bear, but the kind that's deceptive. And it's like the 2000 top. You didn't crash from the dot-com top and drop some almost 90% in the NASDAQ over the next 2 years, but you didn't crash. There were some good double-digit drops in that process, but nothing approaching a crash where basically everybody had to dump everything for margin reasons. So I don't buy into that notion. So I don't think we're going to get those folks who are nervous about the gold miner relationship to stocks, which I think is a very flimsy relationship. Only very small number of times can you find a linkage. I think they're going to be ambushed by what happens, especially if they've liquidated some of their gold mining positions. They'll be sorry they did, because I don't think the drop in the stock market is going to take the gold mining index down. Look at this. Look at the charts just since August. GDX, all the gold miners have eroded down, not crashed, but just a constant layered arm wrestling match, while the stocks have gone up.
Yeah. Michael, real quickly, with just less than 2 minutes left, why do you think that we won't have a crash? What makes you believe that it's going to be an arm wrestling decline?
The technical structures that I see in the stock market, the bigger ones, the annual momentum structures, quarterly momentum, they're too widely spaced. Meaning, imagine the domino again. You know, it's not, they're not so close together that when you drop one, it's going to hit the other and hit the other. Back in March, we had trigger numbers that were so close together that you took out weekly, monthly, and annual within days. We don't have that now.
All right. Well, that could be reassuring for those of us gold guys that have all these gold shares. That's I've been looking at the idea of maybe I should build some cash, and having some cash around is probably not a bad idea when things get cheap. But they're certainly not cheap at this point in time. I guess we'll have to leave it go at that. I guess commodities are looking very strong.
Oh, they're explosively strong, and some of them, Bloomberg, right now are ready to launch on a second phase.
Yeah, I saw your Bloomberg charts. Bloomberg commodity chart looks very bullish this weekend.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Michael, for being with us again. Always good to have you. And a couple of extra minutes is golden for us. More ways, literally and figuratively. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks, we're going to go to break now, but don't go away because we're going to be with Alistair MacLeod, who's going to tell us why he's convinced that, you know, you might think he's crazy. He thinks we're going to go back to some sort of a gold-backed monetary system again. I don't think many people believe that, so we want to hear why he thinks that's the case. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Alistair MacLeod.
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.